I'm Dada Ishova King. We are coming to you from Land Bear, the no man's land that politicians pay attention to during election season. This is the Nigerian Hustle, the podcast about Nigerians who give other Nigerians a portal to ease their stress by watching millionaires kick balls in faraway lands. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. And see, I've told you, we're back in Land Bear. We've been to Land Bear how many times now? I think about two times. And this description of Land Bear as a place, this one is actually new, where you said that a place where politicians only remember during elections, Abi. You know, we'll be talking to politicians very soon. So I reserve my comment.
Okay. All right. Cool. So this episode is about our collective addiction to football as a society. And who better to discuss that addiction than a man who provides a space for all football addicts to gather most weekends. He is proprietor and CEO of Wembley Viewing Center in Lambe, Mr. Adeleke Adeyeye. Welcome to the Nigerian Hustle.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start with that idea of our addiction to football, right?
Yeah.
So I asked you before we started what team you support, and you're a Man U fan,
yeah,
right?
100-100.
Adeleke is a Gunner. I'm an AC Milan fan, have been for what, almost 20 years now.
Wow.
What's crazy is that we have zero personal connection to these places, right?
Yeah.
So grown men that cannot point to England on a map and throw it down for Chelsea or Arsenal or Man U, right? And people who don't know a word of Spanish can be so emotionally invested in the success of Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Definitely.
Where do you think that deeply rooted emotional investment comes from?
Firstly, I think football is a culture. Football is a religion. So to an average African child, we don't really have everything. So averagely, football is where we escape to. Look at average child on the streets, you at tender age, you see them leaving their after school hours, probably maybe break time in schools, after school hours, a child that doesn't even eat at home. There's no food at home. There's no pocket money in his pocket. But when he's with his friends and the break time is bang, comes up, you see, it's a place where many people come together and they form a religion, they bond up and somehow relieve themselves from all the problems in which naturally geographical area in which they came from or the family issue where they are facing does not really exist. So football is a culture, is a religion of an African child. And it just become part of us. We grew up with it, and we see it as something tangible to hold on to believe ourselves.
I get that. I'm just wondering why are we not this crazy about Enyimba, for example, or Shooting Stars, or you get my point.
Get
like
you.
why are we so invested in places so far away from us?
From my own view, I think football is just one all around the globe. I don't care if it's Enyimba that is playing. Anything from Brazil or anywhere. But the problem with our passion for our local league is just simple. We are not organized. An average African child, even if we don't have the right things in which we deserve, does not take out the right to choose when we see an option that is better than what we have been presented to. For example, everybody knows if they give you curry and they give you fried egg and a yam, an average child knows that fried egg and ham is better than curry and cold water. So you see, you come up and you are looking at our league. It's so stereotype. Homes, we always win. And when the away team comes around and they try to pull a stunt, the fans comes up with the club and knives and bottles, and it started. People start losing interest in such things, and there comes a league which is being presented right. You look at the stewards, they face the crowd not watching the football. Look at security in which they put into it, the time of advertisement, the cable that are coming in, they are business people. They saw something, they saw a structure of a business. which if they invested into it, they can make money too. Don't forget, they're business people. So the league itself has added structure, which is even glamorous to watch. You'll be glued to the TV for a while. I've not even been to watch the football live. I'm watching on my TV sometimes, maybe on our 21 inches TV, and it's still attractive. It's still attractive. If you look at the weasel, the footballs, the attitude, the rules in which they follow. Not one footballer coming up and punching the referee. There's a structure which is sellable to the society.
But the punch referees in Brazil, in South American leagues now.
South Americans are like Africans. We are going to.
They will come for you.
Yeah, like Africans. So many things happen in South American leagues, as in drug lords, sub-sponsored leagues. There are interests in which many people have interest in. There's no structure of bodies. Or, for example, now look at Chelsea. Look at the transition of the Abramovich era to this new guy, Boli, what was his name called? Look at the structure where it has been followed. So I'm saying, no, not one person just coming up one day and the owner of the club coming to beat the referee, or like what happened in the Nigerian League like last year or last year, Adimba or something, as in beating up a referee, yeah. Club owner, for heaven's sake. So those ones, the reason why those ones sell and people really have this affinity towards is because it is sellable, it is glamorous, it is structured, it is sustainable. Years after years, you see these leagues, they're about 1 month before Premiership starts, you'll have seen the fixtures being listed out. You have seen everything being perfected. Not one pitch not being fixed. Not one team being, not a team not being in place. Everything is structured. Pre-season seasons, everything is, it's glamorous to watch. That's just the major thing. Not about look at the zones. It's about the business of the sport itself being structured.
So will you say that the investors saw the business opportunity in the entertainment infrastructure and they dived into it?
They came to it. Majorly, they are businessmen. They invested their time. They invested their fund. They have to do crazy adverts everywhere. Those things are not cheap. What about look at it from this way? You're a business person. You're bringing the 100 million to your business. And somebody is selling it to you, and you went invested into it after a whole year. The ROI, there's no ROI. Even your capital which you're investing is not coming to you. It's a waste of time, waste of investment. But look at all these leagues, Premiership, Bundesliga. It's so structured to level that sales of players, merchandise sales, structural of games being played, wages of players, the rules around it. The image right that these players have is beautiful, as in, so they are sure that there's consistency, these things will last long, so I can come around and invest big into it. So that's just a major thing. That's one of the reasons there. So it's not really about the time, about the place. It's about the consistency, the fact that in the next 10 years, if Jesus has not come, there's been much.
Speaking of the business side of football,
yeah.
I think one of the, I don't know if it's one of the biggest money makers, but viewing centers in general,
yeah,
have proliferated and become a key aspect of football culture in Nigeria. What drew you to it? I imagine you had options to invest in other businesses. But why this? Why not? I mean, you're a football fan, so why not enjoy your football? Why invest in it?
Okay, majorly, I'm a business person. I'm not saying I'm the best, but I'm a business person. When we came to this environment, that's in where we are now, it was not so elaborate like the way it is now presently. Where I was coming from, I have a friend, I have a brother, a street brother, that owns a viewing center. Like the year we were moving, that was when he opened it. So we had a plan that maybe I'm going to be the manager of the place, but time and some things came up and we had to move and come to this local zone. Then when I came here, I realized that the places that people are watching football is a bit far from where I'm staying. Some people have to go to these places, and after the match ended by 10, they'll be taking like 2 million back to such places and coming back late. Security factor is not really there. The money factor, you are going to watch ball 17 naira, maybe 15 naira, 17 naira, and you'll be taking back almost like 200 naira to wash book. So,
that can buy an alcoholic beverage back then.
People, when they chill, they go chill without. So, I just came out like, okay, I just woke up one day, like, what's up? I did my visibility studies. I took a walk around the environment. I look at certain places that people are coming from. I look at how close they are to the places in which they are showing these games. Like, it's a good mind for everything. Well, I love sports. I can make money out of these two. This is one of the things that's a business idea that can bring something in. Football lovers are everywhere, which there are many here too. So why can't I just like ski into it? So I took in my steps and we are still here after a long while. We're still here.
What does it take in terms of financial capital and human capital? And what kind of people do you have to deal with on a day-to-day?
Ah.
He just finished dealing with some.
Well, majorly, every video center have the same structure. I have the same business. And it doesn't matter if you have your video center in Lekki. It doesn't matter if you have a video center in the heart of no man's land, as you call Lambe. But the fact is, people are different. So people have diverse attitude to things, response to situations, views around themselves, views to situations. And now you can be watching the same football. The referee will call out something and you see three people arguing on that same thing. Bro, this is foul. It is sure. But somebody will come up with another idea like this is not a foul.
Oh, but you don't know FIFA rule, more rules. What you change your rules?
So majorly, as in run the viewing center, it has his ups and downs. So, for example, like starting in the hub, you must. For me, I'm an installer. I install, as in these satellite TVs, which will give me an edge. Whereby you have to buy your TVs, you have to get your pay TV, decoders, multiple decoders to show multiple matches. The time factor, which is the human sacrifice you have to make, because some games are played around 4, some are played by 11. Your availability have to be there. Because if you're not there, the consistency will, if you're not consistent, the business crumbles, just like every other businesses. So it takes your time, it takes your investment of money, raising up the structure. If you're renting a place, if you're getting the land, if it's your place, getting the benches right, getting the right TVs, getting the right decoders, getting to put the place in shape for people that you have in mind to come around. Because, for example, in my own place, I have people that I have the elites. I have the bike men that came around. I have bike men, I have bricklayers, I have graduates that comes around, which we discuss football on different platforms. So, coming around to that point, you need to be at the heart of everything. In planning, you must put your place in place. You must be consistent in business. You must flow with everybody on their wavelength. That is crucial.
When you say flow with everybody on their wavelength, I am interested in that because I've been to your viewing center. I've seen a few games and I've heard a few opinions. Live red card argument because it is against my club. And then of course we've also heard some very funny rumors. So what's the most bizarre thing that you've dealt with when it comes to, you know, he asked that question about diverse people. So what are the most ludicrous that you've met first? Let's even talk about diverse discussion. The most ludicrous and their attitude. How do you handle that? How do you deal with that?
I won't want to be mean, so I won't.
Please be mean. Feel free, be mean. Be mean, please.
For example, now, like, for example, let's say the Chelsea fans. I'm sorry. The Chelsea fans, like, they have a way. Like, majorly, when they're hugging football, there's a way they hug the football, which you must understand, okay, these are these people. Like, that's. Like they come around and they just, some people want you to come around to your friends and they want their opinions in arguments. You know, I believe when we are discussing things, it should be for for, the goal should be for all everyone to learn. So I'm saying, like, somebody come up, ah, Ronaldo collect, I had five Ballon d'Ors. And I'm saying, ah, no, it is four. So when someone comes around, the biggest referee, which is Google, comes around. So, Papa, come here. Let's put it there. This is what happens. And so, okay. But in such places, people have diverse response to correction. People have, we have temperamental people that you correct them once, they get angry, they speak vulgar words, and next thing the voice comes in, people want to fight. And some people, when you talk to them, like, this one, okay. They just learn and they move on. There's times in which we have an argument about sports, about the player, about an issue in the game, and after we shout on ourselves, you see guys, so come on, Baba, no verse, that time will just happen. But now, once we come on, like, okay, Makpa di enter, Shebolo ole, Sorosimi abi, Mabogo lodi, all those kind of things. So we deal with such cases almost every day in this, and it is not really easy. So it takes a man with great heart. He must be at the center of it all. Even though they know, the man used to say that only ladies don't used to have claw. Yeah, let him know I'm my fan. So if you want to get angry. So, but even with that, having my club in my heart, I try to be in the middle of it all. We have fun. I instigate jokes. I try to down quarrels. I can envisage when an argument is heading to maybe exchange of words and the heat is getting high. So I try to come in at every important time, like, Baba, we are don't do. And make wash ball. We are not trying to divert their mind from what is happening, like, cool it up. After a while, I walk up to one or two and they're like, we'll be guy now, within the soul, leave all these things. It's just football. And everybody shake and everybody go home. You know, the beautiful thing is that we are men. So we tend to forget things easily. We don't hold grudges.
you mentioned one particular club. If they beat you in Champions League final, just find a way to go home and just relax, JJ, because they will see you the next day and still rub it in.
I always off my phone. I will just off my phone.
They are the only ones who will win Champions League and buy cow and paint it blue. I didn't say Chelsea. but there's this thing. Well, we all know that this is just a side attraction. I think so. How do you handle Manchester United being the butt of the joke this season?
Manchester United. As in, recently we have become a market truly. As in, we are so disappointed. You know, I have my jerseys on match days. I wear my jerseys, big boy. I want to form. Like, man is coming up today. We are turning up today. And these guys, almost every time I wear my jerseys, at the times in which they mess up. It's that bad. It's that bad. Shall I say now? So, being a Man U fan, the last couple of years has not really been easy. Since the time that Ferguson left, I think we had our glory days until when Ferguson left. After all the coaches came in, from David Moyes to Van Gaal to...
Well, Ose won trophies for you now. Ose, Mourinho won trophies.
No, football goes beyond trophies. Though, being an Arsenal fan, I don't understand that. So.
Yeah! Please, sorry. Let's off mic. Let's be going home.
I'm sorry. But the middle thing is that the fact is this. You know, I used to tell people, they come on like, I said, let's look at the transition from the time of Moyes came in and Van Gaal, then to the point of Ole, at the Ole Gunnar at the wheel, then to the time where Ragnik came in, and we have not played football. We've won the trophies. We've won almost 11 trophies you want to talk about. Talk about the leagues, we had more than 20. Talk about FA Cups, we have so many. Talk about Champions League, we have 3. Talk about World Club Cup, we've had it. So it's not about winning a trophy anymore. It's about every team has
a philosophy.
A philosophy, thank you. There's a philosophy which Arsenal has. If you are killing Arsenal 100-0, they will still tap their football. If you are killing Barcelona 100-0, they will still move the full and play tiki-taka. If you are killing Tottenham, they will still run. So Manchester United, we know the way we play our football. You touch light from the back, keeper to the central defenders, move to the midfield, it comes to the flank, we run to the flank, there's a cross coming into the mid, to the central, and crazy knock heading comes in, or big shot. You see schools doing a very big pass to the flank, to the 7 on the 11, and guys crossing in, and Ronaldo doing the jump and jumping into it. You know, but suddenly after Babali just left, everything just started dwindling like a fire in the rain. Psh, 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 we are going down. Now we lost the structure. We lost the beautiful football. We lost the fear factor.
You guys became the Nigerian League of, yeah, of the Premiership.
Jesus. It's just the fact. Now you can't boast. You can't really, like, you don't know what to expect in every game. So imagine that you start playing a smaller team. We're playing Nottingham, we are afraid. We are playing Nottingham, we are afraid. We are playing all those Derby County, we are afraid. FA Cups, no matter if they have FA Cups, we are bringing all those kids home and play. Now we've fulfilled all the big names. The Fernandes of this world will be there. And they will still worry about Pepe. It's bad. It's heartbreaking, my brother. It's just heartbreaking.
on that note, I want to ask you about fans and new fans and fans who defect. Like I told you, I've been an AC Milan fan since 2002, actually.
Okay.
And I knew a couple of people who were Milan fans as well.
Yeah.
But at the turn of the 2010s, when it became just depressing, a bunch of
I remember those days when you guys became retirement center, old people's home.
I think a couple of them just moved. I think they became Chelsea fans or something. You get that thing where people seem like diehard fans for a club, and then when the going gets tough, unlike you who are stuck with Man U, for example,
yeah,
they just, you know, go on loan to another team. And then you also get the fact of when you have this new coming clubs, like the nouveau-ish clubs, like Man City and PSG and let's say Newcastle in the next couple of years, you start seeing a huge fan base of those clubs, and you're wondering, who were you supporting before they had money? What? And I think the same can be said for maybe Chelsea in the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the same extent, right?
I would argue that it is to the same extent too.
Nah, probably not. I mean, I think in the 90s with Zola and all that, Chelsea had at least some, you know, a sizable fan base.
Which Baba Yaro and Co. But,
right. So the question what I'm pointing to is, to what extent do you see fans like that at your viewing center? What are the key characteristics you notice about them, and how do you handle fans like that?
Okay, visually, I'll come from this angle. Life is too short to just live in pain.
No, say it. Life is too short to be an Arsenal fan.
No,
say it.
No,
say
I'm
it.
I'm not saying.
Just say it. Because we know, but when you see, the joy we have is that when you say these things, we remember Newcastle. We remember Tottenham forever beneath us, although two seasons now they are above us.
Majorly, in my vision, that now I have Man City fans. I could come back to you. I have this AC Milan. I have a couple of AC Milan fans. You know, just like you, during the downtime where your numbers are going to 89 and you are giving your players 170 Z's. What I'm saying now. That's what sounds funny to me sometimes. When I see the numbers, it's like giving to their players. How do they want to play with all those heavy numbers on their back? You know, these guys, like they're like 7 AC Milan fans. And even when you're playing your games at 10, 9, all those lead hearts, they come out and watch your games. Some people never left. They are just there. Someone like Pato, and I think you know Pato, is... He's an ardent AC Milan fan. Sometimes I look at him like, Baba, bro, you are too young for this, bro. It was so bad, all those bad errors. He stays, he watches his games. Not going to Champions, not going to Europa League. He still comes around and watches games. He just enjoys. So there are fans like that.
Do you have Juventus fans? I mean, Juventus.
I have an Inter Milan fan. I have an AC Milan fan. And I think... I have Man City fans.
What? Because I had to ask this because strangely, I look at it until Ronaldo moved, I hardly find Juventus fans anywhere.
You know, that's where I'm coming to. That's what I'm coming to. Like, they are fans and they are football lovers, you know.
And they are player lovers.
I feel like that. Anywhere Mourinho goes,
he goes.
Baba goes.
So he's a Roma fan now.
No, he's a Roma fan now. He got his jersey. I got his jersey. So he's a Roma fan. Mm. Anyway, if Mourinho goes to Derby, he's going to Derby.
Even if he comes to Yimba,
he's coming to Yimba. He loves him so much. So there are football fans. There are sport lovers and there are player lovers. So obviously, for the past decade, people have loved Ronaldo and Messi. This Messi and Madame Messi era, and anywhere those places, those guys goes to, media seems to follow them all around. So now see people having multiple clubs they support visually, and they have additional clubs in other leagues. Like as I am now, I'm a Mario fan, but if when Mario was in La Liga, I watch Madrid's game. I want them to win. So I mean, on that point, I'm loving Ronaldo, but I'm not your fan. Okay. I want him to win.
So you want Ronaldo to win?
Anytime. To beat Messi anytime. To be above Messi.
I know a lot of you will understand why I'm saying okay. Because I hardly see an average Arsenal fan who has survived this long without having a beating.
I see.
It's not really easy. As in, you guys are...
Stop it, though. Okay, let's off mic and be going on.
So, majorly, people are... There are sport lovers and there are fans. Some fans are still there. They've never changed. They are still there. Downtime, uptime, raining time. They stick to their teams. And I know a couple of them. But we have some other new generations coming up too. They're just picking up interest in football. The teenagers. Yeah. So those ones too, you know, their numbers are much presently. And so they are feeling themselves in what the myth. The new football, the Man City of this time, which play good football. I can't, not because my dad is supporting Man U. I will not see Man City that is playing good football. As a teenager, I'll go and at the present time, people don't like Wala. I don't like Wala. They don't like Wala. Where is the peace of mind? They look at a very good club and they follow. So maybe it's a major thing. So it's not really bad. But for the whole timers, I think it's immature to leave, to just leave the club and choose anyone.
There's one question that I'd like to ask. I don't know if LJ will get to that point, or if we probably will shed more light on it later on.
Go ahead.
Over time, we all know that there was a time when it was a pooling system, that's where people make money off football. If you don't play pool, you only love football for football's sake. But betting company technology brought a different level of betting, sports betting. So is there a difference, or are there differences between those who love football or those who love to win from football? And what's that experience been like? Because I want to believe that those who love to win from football can be very, very aggressive.
Where your money is, your heart goes. So money is a powerful tool, man. Money's a powerful tool. So betting and football, though they intertwine, but they are two different things. Many people are non-sport lovers. Even I have some people that I know that they don't even watch football, but they listen to the scores and they follow their money on paper, and when it comes they go back home happy. But there's this part of people that love football and still bet also, and some people that love football and they don't bet. I'm saying that, but I think betting has become part of the game. Because it's easier now comparing to the time of pool, where people, if you don't have a cable back then, you can't watch football and it's limited. It's very, very limited. But now football, as in pay TV, has made it easy. You can have your Disney housing and you can watch football and follow it out. So people come on like, okay, if the players are getting paid, the teams are getting paid, the field is getting graced. So I go to the views and I watch at home. I lose my voice following a team or a couple of teams, right? And I know these teams will win. How can't I make profit from my passion? So with the media coming to it, you see advert of sport everywhere. Like, okay, I can put my money here and make money. even as I'm loving my football. I don't involve my standard into it, because I don't want to be heartbroken twice, here and there, being beaten and losing money.
Okay. So you don't want to put when it comes to sports, football especially, you don't want to turn your passion into business.
No. There are two things. Manchester United is Manchester United. So when I watch Manchester United, I'm just watching Manchester United with happy mind. Nothing added to it.
You're not a very optimistic Arsenal fan. Who knows that Arsenal cannot beat Barca, but we'll still say, oh my God, the odd is much.
Jekbe.
Miraculously.
Well, you know, one interesting thing I've heard, I don't remember who it was from, but a couple of years ago. Someone said that he always bets against his team because that way it guarantees that he would not lose twice. Because if he loses money and his team wins, then okay, he has that emotional satisfaction of his team winning. But if his team loses,
and
you know, then
money.
He wins money. So,
but that means pain is pain. Either you get it twice or you get it once. Pain is pain. That sometimes in which I could remember the time we played Bayern Munich Champions League, that they won us 3-2. I was going for vigil that night. I had the choir rehearsal in church that night. Like, okay, let me just get you with this reason. And we're 2 goals up, and somehow we lost 3-2. You know, I was in the vigil. I was after the vigil around 3 a.m. I was sleeping. I snapped out around like, ah God. We could have just moved to semi-final, and somehow we just lost.
That was the year Lewandowski showed you. Was it Lewandowski that showed you Pepe? Who showed you Pepe that year?
We were sluggish. The last goal came from Evra. As in, this guy should, like, as in time was going, we could have just cleared the ball to the flank. In the box, we are holding the ball. You know, so if your team gets beaten or you lose your money, they are still paying. So it's better to remove. Don't even stick on your team at all. Just enjoy your sport and maybe stick on every other thing that happens. If Arsenal lose, happiness, yes. So that one is happening. Yeah, that's happiness. Oh.
You see the way I'm looking at you. You didn't say if Man U loses. Are we off your mic?
That's just ridiculous.
All right, so I want to stay on the issue of betting there, because okay. In the last few years,
yeah.
Betting companies have just proliferated everywhere.
Yeah.
How much of a gambling problem do you think that would have wrecked on society? Because not everybody, I would say a vast majority of people who are betting are losing money.
Mm.
But the betting companies are making serious cash, right?
Yeah.
So how much of an issue do you think it's... How do you think it's affecting society?
You know, majorly, I don't want to run down a business, because that's a mm-hmm. business also. And okay. There's a structure, there's a rule around it, which states that if you're not 18 years old, you can bet. Based on the laws of the land, which states that by 18 years old, they expect you to be able to know your right from your left and your wrongs from your right. So you should be able to know that if I have 100 naira, I'm going out tomorrow, I'm going to spend 30 naira. You should not be able to, you should not waste your 100 naira when you know you are getting, you still need money tomorrow. So maturity, just like every other business, in which let's talk about cryptocurrency, every other trading that have its risk, mm-hmm. betting too has its own risk. You can lose it all, and you can gain so many. I've seen so many investments around life, around people, where people invested so much and didn't come out the way they expect. And likewise, also betting also. So, but I just believe maturity. If you don't know, you might lose your life to it. The pains that come in from losing money. To make money in Africa is not really easy now. So imagine someone that earned maybe 150,000 naira as a salary, or 200,000 naira. The bills around you, if you have family to feed, you have bills to pay, light, water, and every other things around you. And they're still there, cutting those things off. You have maybe like 100,000 naira left, maybe rent is still coming in. I still have to tent yourself for the whole month. And I do think it is smart of you to pull out a larger chunk of your money and stick with it. So the risk around it is much, but sometimes some people stick, and I've seen people that stick, someone that stick less than 200 naira and 149 million naira.
Yep.
Yeah.
How long was the sleep?
It's a very big, long sleep. I've seen a very long sleep. I saw I won't mention the best in company because they don't pay me. So I saw it was posted online. The guy played multiple games. Some mistake with 7,000, 8,000, but in total it was less than 500,000 naira. This guy won close to 671 million naira.
The betting company has closed down now.
Did not. They had money, they have the backup, and they paid him. I saw it, like each one of those tickets was carrying about 49 million, 48 million, 49 million, and he was sticking with 7,000, 10,000, 8,000 naira. The guy is a big millionaire. He made money. So as I said, it's a business. It's not the way you think it is. They are losing money too. For just one person, they've lost about, the money was about 561 million naira. That's more than half a billion to just one punter.
But they can gain it back in a week.
You can never tell. You don't know the business. You don't know how the business works. You don't.
I'm just saying that there are times when, you know, there are times when we say, "My human no."
Definitely, because if you play 10 games, you are waiting for ten. They are just waiting for one error. They are waiting for one error. So the hold is not really against the punters. It's always in their favor, but it's still business. They lose sometimes too. I can remember the time. I'll mention this time. 1960 came, were like the
artists, they were everywhere, they were in our faces.
They were the glamour of the time, like the knights in shiny armor everywhere. Then somehow that year, so it was around October, November, they had this hit, the game released it, and they win them, they hit them, and the people won, and they were not able to pay. There was something for fund from banks, I guess, then. And you can't even pay as in players online players, punters rather.
Wow.
They can't pay in shops. Then when we're trying to come back to life a little bit, by December again, or January, by late about January, all that big wins hit them. People won, scatter.
So that means their capital base wasn't that strong enough to sustain their business.
So the business is a business whereby the way we are looking at average all business from the outside. It's not the way it is from the inside. They have their losses also. They have taxes they pay to the government. They have bills to run. They have staffs to pay. They have where they are, maybe company they are affiliating to outside the country. They have money to pay. Just like getting the rights, this footballing rights that all these pay TVs are having here. If you know how much they are paying to get those rights, you are likely like, okay, this one is synchronous fee, that one is synchronous fee. But what they are paying to get those channels is not really cheap. So likewise, all those betting companies, I know they are paying and they are losing because they are truthful. Much bigger ticket than you win, and you get
they cannot afford not to be truthful. They cannot. I mean, the results are there.
Yeah, it is true, but they can't. But I just mentioned a company to you. Some people didn't get paid till now.
Really?
Definitely. Can search wow. search for it.
I think. Well, it's always about the odds. Sometimes, because they believe, they sometimes place impossible odds because they want people to come and put their money, thinking that this person will beat this person silly, and then the person that they expected to beat the person silly.
Because it's human. It's human factor. This is not machine. It's human factor. It's like bringing Chelsea to come and play in Yimba this time. So
I think one of the games that did that particular company in had to do with Etafe and Barcelona too. It was a period where there were a lot of upsets, both in the Premiership, La Liga. It was like back to back every weekend. There were mad upsets.
Those weeks, that week, the game clicks. All the big guns, all the big names won. So it's like saying. You this week you're coming like Barcelona will win, Man U will win, Chelsea will win, and those things came the way people predicted. Some people are sticking
over 2.5,
and everything just came.
Yeah,
and the business works. So it's a business which I want to see from that point. So though, averagely, everybody like we the search for money is really killing us truly. So many people, even after winning, they still lose it all back, and some when they win, it changed their life. So it's a business like every other business. I've seen crypto traders like in few months, like maybe like January, they are balling. They're like they have millions in their accounts, and there comes the dip, down, 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 and it's they are like digging oil down presently, I guess.
Nobody's buying the deep anymore.
A guy said, they said, buy deep. Now we are deep in the Conga. Shamsina. Life is just a risk. And likewise, the betting issues also. People are winning and people are losing. So that's just the way it is. But they have an age frame, which is under the law that if you are not 18, you can't come, you can't play, because it is wrong. And they're sticking to it. So I don't see anything wrong with them.
Okay. I always look at the games. The World Cup is coming, although this one is coming at a time when we never expected the World Cup to come.
November. Very hard.
the times are changing. But yeah. I've always looked at the time differences. How do you undo matches that come up late in the night, early in the morning, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., especially in communities like this where we have the vigilante system, the communal security system? How do you undo late night matches? And have there been times when you were summoned to say, is it true that this person is coming from your place?
Yeah, I've had issues like that a couple of times. There was a time in which, even when the security was so porous and issues were happening, like people's houses been bombed and going to church, and when they get back, their windows have been broken and things have been, their goods have been carted away along the line. You know, where boys gather, there's always these eyes, you know, man losing, and they steal, those kind of things. But the integrity of the owner of the business matters at that point, it matters a whole lot. So, like the communal security system, I try to meet up with a couple of them and tell them, this is what I do at this place. Even when they are new, this is the place I'm running this thing, and this is the space. So they know that this is what we do. And they know the influx and the gender that comes around. So we set a target. If they are coming to watch late night matches, daytime, you are free to move. But there's this time, there's this restricted time where we can move around. If I'm showing late matches, I tell people that Kazaliku coming. If you are coming to watch this match, you come at this time. And you stay in this place.
Okay. So what about when the matches are done? Do they stay over till the next morning in your place?
They have to stay. Because they're my customers. I can't risk their life. If I lose one, I lose a business. So I have to watch out for them. They're like my children now. Even when some of them are older than I am, rather. Well, so I watch out for them. I look out for them. Like, okay, they're about to, when you're coming, you're staying. The match is 2. So it ends around to 4. I'll not off the chain. You will probably miss a mosquito and bite you. So the fans have been blowing. So I put those structures in place. I know I'm losing money because I should have shut down, but that maybe by 4 and keep my 4. Because I have them in mind and I want them to stay. They can't leave until 5 in the morning. Sorry. They can't leave until 5 in the morning. So I have to put the gen up, everybody, I sit with them and I make sure that the securities know that they are here. I don't sleep too. Because I don't want issues. See what I'm saying now? So those structures, the games I won't show, I won't show. And games I'm showing, I will tell you. If you are coming, you come when people will see you coming here. And you have a perfect alibi. Should be something happen somewhere else. Okay, I'm coming to Wembley and people saw me coming and I'm here, I've been here, and nothing happens. Because one event can spoil a spoof. One event can spoil the business name. So I have to protect my interest and their own interest also. So that's what I do.
You talked about leaving your gen on for a couple hours because, you know, you want to, you know, you don't want mosquito to bite you and all of that, right?
I love them.
All right. Of course, there is some level of self-interest there because, again, you want to keep your customers happy.
Yeah.
And there are people that you interact with in settings other than them being football lovers because, you know, they live in the community too.
Yeah.
So how do you balance your need for that kind of community harmony with your economic interests? Because you have to buy fuel, pay cable fees, manage the generator. I imagine that anytime there's a game, there's a match on, you have the generator on because you don't want any interruptions, right?
Yeah.
So how do you balance that need to serve the society with the need to make sure that financially you're not digging yourself into a ditch?
Okay, I'll take it from the top. The business around the business, the Mr. Business, and the interest in the profit, the economy and the love for the fans. Mm-hmm. Firstly, as I told you earlier, I was able to cut out some costs, which is I'm an installer. So that gave me leverage on expenditure. If something happens to my installation, instead of calling an installer or waiting on an installer to come and pay 7,000 naira, 10,000 naira, 6,000 naira, I pick up my tools and I fix it up.
So maintenance is reduced, cost of maintenance
reduced. So by the other side, when it comes to Age of Gem, just the fact that I love the game and I want to watch also, so the love and the pleasure that I gain seems to cover part of the expenditure, because I'm servicing myself as I'm servicing my customers also. So I reduced the view I see on expenditures for maintenance of the gen. Though those things are really bogus, like the price of fuel and maintenance of gen is not really easy. So and for the fans also, like I, as much as I want to enjoy the game, I want them to enjoy the game also, giving them a very peaceful environment and setting up their mind in place for the games which you want to enjoy. So you need to, I try to see that it's beyond money. Like not just like the match is starting by 4 and I win the game by 3:50, and the game ends by 5:45 and I switch off the game by
5:46.
you get it now. So that's what someone that is seen as a business does.
Now, maybe someone that doesn't understand the power of return customers.
Yeah. Mm. So I can cut out costs on my own hand, and secondly and lastly, I believe if you service a customer right, it's a chain to 1,000 customers. That's my own view. If you service a customer right, it tells his friend tells his friend, and they make the place a home. Wembley has gone beyond just a reason that has become where when there's no sports, you see men that have homes, that have houses, people that are
landlords.
Rich. Yeah, landlords. You come around and chill. You just sit down, because we have all those indoor games, and they just come in and sit down and watch and play indoor games. People meet and catch up with their friends, which has become an advantage. At the point people are increasing, when during the first scarcity time, cost of visitors was forced to shoot up a little bit. In people that are charging 200 now, 100 now, started collecting 150, that are charging 1 visa going 200 naira. We expect me to do the same. I said, no, I'm sticking to it. They're like, how are you going to do? How are you going to cover up? I said, okay, this is how it's going to be. This business is a business of numbers. If I increase it, if I'm having 50 people before,
I would have 25.
I have 25. And they're paying 150, but it's only a waste. If I can maintain my 50, if the 50 are coming in consistently, they can tell their friends that this person is still consistent. I can have 75. So that can...
extra 25 covers...
That cover for the little addition of the business. So to run the business, especially maybe in the visitor business, you must understand where you stand. You must have the passion for the business first. You must be able to work on some things at a certain time, like cutting, like installation. You must be in the business. You must understand the business. You have to be a novice. You must love the game itself. That's when you can be selfless when ready to service. And when people watch, when they see the tenacity which you are building your business, okay, they know, like, this place is home. Match, they will come to me like, Wembley, show match. I'm going to show this match. Matches there, some people, if I'm going out, I'll see some people, they will not write those games. I'm like, I want to write this game. Me, I want to watch this game, oh. Sham say now. And they won't write it.
Like, people don't write Brentford, Newcastle.
No, they don't.
Brentford, Southampton.
Tottenham. Like, if you watch some visitors' ball, all you see there is Barcelona, Chelsea, Real Madrid. If all those La Liga games are falls around period,
9 p.m. and co.
They will show it. So, like, maybe Chelsea, which you know the boost crowd, maybe Arsenal, the big names in the game. They don't show Bundesliga. They don't show Serie A. I show Inter Milan. I show Juventus. I show Roma. Sometimes I will see 3 before people sitting down there, and I look at them. I will still show it, just because I have the passion for it. That is me. Do you get it now? So that's the selflessness in the business, or the profit you are envisaging comes in the numbers, and it cover up the people that come around to watch. The people that come around to watch Juventus, you've made them your customers. They know that you are going to show Juventus, come rain, come shine. So when their friends that watch Chelsea comes to them And they know that there's a place they can watch Juventus Vitus and us and Reyes Roma and AC Milan, just like my brother over here. they tag him along. I've had an addition to the sales of that day. So it has to be, you understand the business, you love the game itself, you being selfless and putting your customers as a priority. It's not, you don't be money. Sometimes some games I'll just write it. I'll say that the numbers are few. I'll leave the money. I'm losing money. I'm losing four. The subscription is counting. I have to be around to watch and supersede the environment. Like some bikers will come around. I don't stay inside in view centers. I stay outside.
You are the CEO, the chief security officer, chief steward officer.
My brother, to the glory of God, since I've run this thing, I've not had issue of someone losing his bike or losing a possession. See, I'm saying that because I take my time. Like when they are there watching their games, I watch my games also, but I place myself in places that I can watch out for people. So they understand that, okay, at Wembley, Sean, some people call like, Sean, be back, be back. Just pack it here. That's never happened, it won't happen. Like, am I in faith? No, it's not about faith. We have a structure that works that. So they are seeing the services and the selflessness I'm putting into it. So people keep coming.
This is one question I've always wanted to ask you. I've been to your place, seen games.
Yeah.
What's your plan for growth?
Okay. Surely, everybody have a plan. Everybody wants to grow. Every business wants to grow. But there are factors that determine growth. having an annex somewhere is growth. Expansion is growth. Looking at the numbers of people you are looking out for is growth, because communities increases, people increase the ones in doing it. So you must make plans for that number also. And you can't just stick to one location for your long while. But growth still revolves around money. Setting up a perfect business that you must have hundreds of thousands. Which, after setting it up, can you maintain
the standard
in some other places? Like if I'm employing people, can they manage the place where actually I'm managing it? Because it's a business, it's a contact business. 2 seconds, this can just go boom.
2 seconds, everything done.
So it's not like you're working to the bank, you bring a teller, it's a structure. You don't need to talk to the teller guy. Take his stamps, he check, he deducts, give you your money, you leave. But this one, people, there's contact, people talk to themselves. Issues rises that raise people's temper. You must be on ground to quench those fire. Lest one day they fight, somebody stabs someone, and you've lost your business.
Forever.
So when it comes to growth, I have an intention. If I see money now, I've mapped out some things. Like that place, I want to pull it down, raise blocks and decking, place something up, maybe for VIP, people can chill up, big screen, down is just good for the usual person to come around and watch and leave. I have my plans stated out, diagram being drawn, but everything's involved around money, which we are praying to God that when the money comes, we are going to just invest in it.
Peradventure, we're blessed enough to find an investor or somebody who's looking for where to put his money. And says, that guy seems to have some nice idea, and says, let me see if I can put my money into it. I'm not talking about banks, I'm about personal investors. Would you welcome such a person?
Definitely. It's business, and I know the business. I've been there.
You're too proud.
No, it's not pride.
So, let me ask this. Speaking of, security and people being confident about leaving their belongings around you, are you ever worried about security for yourself, because your business is mostly a cash business, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't imagine you're doing POS or a lot, right? So how do you manage the concern around you have a lot of cash with you at the end of games, and there's probably an opportunist just waiting around to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
How do you manage that in terms of the actual steps you take and just your psychological you know, concern around those things.
I get you. You know, firstly, I just think it's just God. Because it takes, it doesn't even take people to know you have money to come out. But it's not necessarily you flaunt money before people come and double everything. Mm. So if it's not happening to you, don't think you have a strategy. You don't have a strategy. When God is backing you up and you don't think people things that belong to people. I have that mindset from my day one. For example, I've seen people that have lost valuables in my place, wallets with money, phones, maybe during the heat of the game, they are leading a team, they come back, it's a comeback, and they score, everybody jubilating. Wallets drops, phone drops. While everybody left, some people might even forget their phones, where they are charging, because I have a charging box for people. I pick them up, I keep them. When they come around, tell me what you have in those things. They tell me, what's the number of that phone? Let's call it. They call it. I give it back. So I have this mentality that I don't pick people's things. What can I pick my things? I'm not boasting. I said God, and I don't take people's things. I'm contented with what I have, so I just stick to it. I don't have much, yeah, but the person to know they enter my heart. So I don't mix things up. See, I'm saying now. So that has been a very big goal. And lastly, I do flow with boys now. I do flow for streets.
About our boys.
Bros, if you're in such business, that such contact business, you know who they phone for who do?
Who you offer for?
Yeah.
Your customer.
You see, I was asking me, hey Wembley, I'll remember, hey Baba. As in the studio bike man. Say Wembley, Baba. Baba. You see the idea, Wembley as bros. So, like, flow people like if they're free, nobody won't hurt you, sha. So if you know your ways around the business, like every other business, and if you just pray, say nothing bad will happen. But at least, woman, OT for wood. Guys get down.
Original testament.
So where can people find you?
Milambe, my place is 120 Purpose Avenue and Olampe State. It's very well.
Do you advertise on social media?
Presently, my social media handle, I'm just trying to create platforms. I have platforms which.
Don't worry, I'm forcing him to start.
the problem is this: I do a couple of other things. So, the social handles that I have, they are meant for those things, which it does not really entirely. You're working at me.
LJ, we would work some things out. It should have a social media handle.
Definitely.
We would work things out.
Yeah. Definitely this.
Alright, that's awesome. Mr. Ilike, thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like what we're doing, please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to us right now. We would also like to hear from you. That is directly from you. Send us your thoughts, comments, suggestions, and questions at info@whatisnigeria.com. Also share, like, subscribe to the What is Nigeria channel on YouTube. All the good stuff. We'll see you next time. Until then,
your village people will not catch you, and Nigeria will not end you.